Welcome to this talk from the Canando Zen Meditation Center. Located in Mountain View, California, Canando's meditation practice is open to the public. For more information or to get in touch with us, you can visit our website at canando.org. That's K-A-N-N-O-N-D-O.org.
Good evening. Everyone, without exception, everyone wants to be happy and content and satisfied and wise and fulfilled with their life. All creatures desire this. But when you stop to think about it, you see that the odds are not in our favor. So we make various choices about the life we want to lead, the activities that we want to engage in. We make choices about our beliefs, our belief system. And we make these choices because we want to feel secure. We want to be comfortable. We want to fit in, you know, with our neighbors and the rest of our society. And we want to feel useful, all these things. And of course, these choices are very necessary, and it's okay to make these choices. They're important. If we want to feel satisfied in our daily life. But the world and our lives are always changing. We are met with unexpected surprises that disrupt our plans and disrupt our life. And these surprises bring about problems for us, and even disasters, serious disasters. There is never any guarantee that we can hold on to what we can achieve. So, and of course, all this. This state of affairs for us led the Buddha to say, life is suffering. Things change. Life is suffering. You can't hold on to anything. So when we focus ourselves only on our activities, our daily activities, or our beliefs and our lifestyle, and what we do in our daily life, if we focus only on those things, there's always a risk, and there's a high probability that there will be anxieties and confusion and suffering. Very few can escape it. This focus on the activities of our ordinary life is a narrow focus. And in Buddhism, it's known as delusion, this narrow focus. It's delusion because it causes us to see our life in a constrained way. And it's far away from seeing life in its entirety, which is what we need to do, to see life in its entirety. Many people see their life as if they were in Las Vegas or Reno. In other words, they're interested primarily in pleasure and diversion and excitement in some special place, protected special place, separated from the natural world. Las Vegas is, if you've been there, you know it is the most unnatural place. But it's fun. But it's unnatural. If we see life, if we see our life as if we were in Las Vegas or we are trying to be in that kind of a place, this kind of view means we are betting on being happy and successful simply by the choices we make in our everyday life, simply by our everyday choices. And if we depend on these choices and these decisions in our everyday life to make us happy, then our life is always as if we're looking for the biggest payoff. This choice, this belief, is the $500 chip, really important. This choice and this belief is the $100 chip, and this one here is simply the $10 chip. So we have a collection of these various choices and activities, so-called chips, you know, and we bet these every day, hoping that the way we play them will give us a payoff. And if you look at your life carefully, you'll see this is what we're doing. But when we have a mind of practice, then we no longer feel we have a need to try to win. Because we see, the mind of practice enables us to see that we have been given a life, and so therefore we have already won. And no other payoff is needed. So that gambling is not an option anymore. No need. In other words, in the spiritual world, in the spiritual dimensions, there are no losers. Our practice will enable us to gain or to uncover this understanding. And when we understand our life in this way, we develop a strong gratitude for our life. And we learn to care for it rather than squander it, as if we were at some gambling table. We care for it just as it is, no matter how it may unfold and present itself to us. But the opposite is true if we are gambling with our life, making bets here and there that things will pay off. The gambling life is a lonely life. And even if we become successful in the everyday sense, we can never be at peace if this success was based on being successful at gambling. So our practice, our Zazen practice, is not a personal practice. People say my Zazen or my practice, but that's a kind of misleading. Zazen is not a personal practice. It is a universal practice that we share with everything. So we cannot make a bet with it. We cannot gamble with it. Zazen is not for betting. Some people say, you know, I'll go do Zen practice. I will do Zazen. maybe it will make me feel good. That's a kind of gambling. I'll invest my time in Zazen, maybe it will make me feel good. I hope it will pay off. And of course, with that attitude, there is no payoff. So we don't do Zazen, we don't engage in this practice for those kinds of personal reasons. We engage in this practice, we engage in Zazen because we have already won. This is a very important point, not easily understood. So we sit, we come to practice and we sit without any idea of winning. As Suzuki Roshi has famously said, without a gaining idea. Sit without a gaining idea. Then there's no need to make a bet. So our Zazen practice is beyond these kinds of ideas. Zazen is simply to express our original self. That's all. The reason we do what we do is the most important thing. And the reason should be based on who we are inherently, not who we think we are, not who we want to be, not who we imagine ourselves to be. But the reason we do things in life should be based on who we are fundamentally and inherently. And this too is an important point to understand. So if we don't understand the basis, fundamental basis of our life, we will always be pulled one way or another. We will be pulled this way or that way, based on our grasping and chasing after things, impermanent things. So it is important to know who we are inherently. Then we don't fall into that kind of trap. If we do not understand the basis, the foundation of our life, who we are inherently, it's very difficult to find long-lasting satisfaction or contentment with ourself or contentment with our life, even if we are successful. And sometimes you may hear people say, I am, in my life I am successful, but it does not feel like success. But when we understand that we are Buddha, fundamentally, then all of our life's activities will be based on our true nature. Then all of our activities will be Buddha's activities. Even though we may say, oh, nothing special. So we human beings have the tendency to believe that some of the things we do in life, some of our activities are very important. This is an important activity. Or these activities are important and these others not so important. That only causes us to discriminate between this activity and that activity. The risk then is that we will not take care of the so-called unimportant ones. or we will not pay attention to the so-called unimportant ways of thinking, of the thinking and feeling of others. Because we say, well, it's not worth my time paying attention to what he has to say, because he's not important. But this is not our practice tries to teach us to see our activities in a different way. So why do we do this? Why do we think this activity is important and that one is not important? I think it's because we are always gambling. Always gambling with our activities. We are trying to, you know, win in the everyday world. We are hoping for a big score. But our true nature does not feel a need to win. Sometimes in our life, sometimes when we go about the work of our daily life, even when we're quite dedicated, quite determined, quite sincere, sometimes we will feel confused. Sometimes we will feel deluded. These sorts of things happened. But as the teaching emphasizes for us, we are already enlightened. And when we have this confidence in our true nature, then each of our activities becomes Buddha's activity. So we practice with a mind that tries to be aware of itself, that tries to be aware of its confusion or its delusion, that tries to be honest about itself, that does not try to fool itself. When we keep this awareness about ourselves, all activities will have the same value. And we won't need chips to gamble with. In Buddha's world, everything, all things, have the same absolute value. Absolute value. And when we are not attached to the things of this world, we can see this absolute value in all things. And then we can see the necessity of taking care of everything and not just certain select activities or things or people. When this is our focus, taking care of everything we do, then each of our activities becomes gold, golden. Valuable, like a jewel. So everything we do in our life should be based on this awareness, not on some material notion of its value to us. This is the point of our practice. So it is necessary to be successful in our life in the usual sense. Doesn't mean we shouldn't try to be successful in everything we do. We should take care of our family and our work and our relationships and ourselves. We should take care of these things of our everyday life, so that we don't make problems for ourselves and for others, so that there can be harmony. But true success goes beyond this usual understanding. True success depends on seeing and feeling and sensing our other dimension. True success depends on going beyond the everyday and the ordinary, to expressing our spiritual dimension. When we can do that, when we can feel our spiritual side, we will not be constrained. We will no longer be constrained by ideas about winning. And we will not discriminate our activities and our relationships. Everything will have the same value. So our point of our practice is to see our life through the eyes of our practice, through our spiritual dimension. Then, when we can do that, our efforts and our activities are no longer for our own personal gain, but they become, we see them as the expression of something very large that is always changing. Then we will know how to take care of the activities of our daily life. And we will know how to take care of our life. And then we are no longer gambling. And we are always successful in a very, very large sense. And this success means we will find contentment and wisdom and inclusion. Despite any difficulties or failures or disasters that may arise in our life, we will feel contentment when we live according to our spiritual dimension. Does anyone have a question tonight?
Before you have that understanding, how do you make choices?
So whether we have great wisdom or we still carry around some uncertainty and confusion, we should always try to make decisions that do not create harm, that bring benefit. This should be our intention. No creating harm, no creating division. Decisions that will create or maintain harmony and good relationships. And, this is a problem in the modern world we live in, especially these days in the high-tech world. The long-term effects of decisions that are being made are very difficult to see. Some technical decision for some service or product may look very beneficial, and people applaud it. And we discover later that, oh, it had a side we didn't recognize that can create harm. We see that happening today. But I think we have to make the effort to think things through, to make decisions, do the best we can to make decisions that don't create harm. This should be our attitude. Even when we continue to struggle with some larger questions that still may be confusing, other words, we don't say, I will learn to make the correct decision when I'm enlightened. No waiting. Thank you. So your question reminds me of the very famous story about Suzuki Roshi. And it is, it's often told that when he went to the market to pick fruits and vegetables, he always took the ones that were past their prime, a little bit soft, a little bit dark around the edges. He always went for those. Preferences, he didn't have preferences. He just didn't want things to go to waste. So he picked the ones that were getting close to the end so that they wouldn't be wasted. Whereas most of us, you know, pick it up and discard it and go for the one that looks nicer. He cared for things in a very, very large way. Don't waste food. If I don't take this, if I don't rescue this very old peach, they will throw it out later. It'll be wasted, which is not a good idea. So he had a heart and a mind that cared in that way, very, very, very large way. That's a touching story, I think, because it showed a mind of care and compassion. So sometimes we put our preferences aside when we see a way to prevent suffering or prevent waste and use things in the right way. Thank you.
This talk was brought to you by the Canando Zen Meditation Center in Mountain View, California. For more information or to support this podcast, go to canando.org. That's K-A-N-N-O-N-D-O.org.